You are listening to Water Online Radio. Coming to you live from Boston, Massachusetts and ACE 2014, uniting the world of water. This broadcast is brought to you by Water Online Radio, the voice of the water resource and recovery industry, and WaterOnline.com, enabling water and wastewater professionals to make informed decisions. Water Online, now that's clear. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
This is Todd and Todd live from Beantown. Good afternoon and welcome back to Water Online Radio's live day one coverage from ACE 14. Year three of our coverage here, Todd, and we talk to Severin Trent every time, and it's always a scintillating conversation.
And I know the education continues. I'm glad to get another dose.
Yes, me too. Welcome back to the show, John Dyson. He's the America's Sales Director with Severin Trent. John, welcome back to the show.
All right, thanks, Todd and Todd. Glad to be here today.
We're always glad to see you, John. Before, our audience is probably very familiar with Severin Trent, but take a few quick seconds. Tell us about what you guys do, how you serve your market.
Okay. Severin Trent as a company is a UK-based company. Started out as a private utility company, and in its progression developed into not only a private utility company in the UK, but operates many facilities here in the US under the O&M agreements with many municipalities. I think it's about 475 installations throughout the United States, so it's very considerable. But as part of that, Severin Trent acquired many companies, equipment companies, over the years, and has what's called a water purification group, which I'm a part of and responsible for the Americas territory and all the equipment sales that we do here in the Americas, which is North and South America. We sell equipment all around the world, but my focus is here in North America.
Just half the world.
Just half. Yeah, just half. So, but we sell all different types of equipment and to meet the needs of the industry out there. So there's, we cover a broad spectrum of technologies to the marketplace.
John, it seems like every time the industry gets a handle on dealing with one water contaminant, five others pop up. What kind of contaminants are top of mind right now for Severin Trent?
You know, the interesting thing is just very recently, Chrome 6 regulation has been passed. And that's one of the areas that we're working in. So, that's going to be the new hot buzzword out there in terms of treatment. But we continue to focus as part of our business plan to develop the inorganics business. And Chrome is part of that inorganics business plan, which includes nitrate treatment and drinking water applications, arsenic removal, which we're very well known for over the years with our bayoxide media that we apply. We're definitely the leader in the United States in application and treatment of arsenic for drinking water projects throughout the world. But the key new one is actually Chrome 6. It's going to be a really sensitive area because there's treatment is not easy. It's a difficult subject matter to be dealt with, and it's specifically focused in different parts of the country where I have these contaminants, like California.
Yeah, is that more a regulatory mandate sort of a thing, or is the public health aspect of it a little bit spooky?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it's regulatory mandate, with the EPA passing new regulations, but it all stems out of public health. And chrome is a serious contaminant to the health and safety of people out there and needs to be regulated. And it becomes a bigger and bigger issue as water scarcity becomes a problem out there in different parts of the country. Chrome 6 was probably not as big an issue 5 or 6 years ago. With the drought that's going on out west, people having to find ultimately new water sources or bring on wells that they had abandoned previously that they knew had Chrome 6 problem. So now they need to figure out a solution when they don't have other water as a source.
All right. Well, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with John Dyson of Severin Trent. John, Todd brought up the regulatory situation here. I mean, a lot of outdated treatment plants out there. Are they able to keep up with these mandates? I mean, what to do there?
That's a very big issue out in the marketplace. Many plants can't do it, and the municipalities are looking for ways to finance these type of projects. You've got, low interest loans through SRF. There's also, private water companies that will, buy utilities, et cetera. There's some ways to do it. In some cases, it could be a private partners, a partnership type arrangement out there. And Severin Trent has done those type of opportunities to help municipalities out, which could involve financing a project potentially to help offset the cost initially to a municipality. So many of the plants are out there need update. I mean, we all know there's a huge deficit in terms of needs out there between the pipelines and the treatment plants, particularly the smaller systems where the issues with chrome 6, arsenic, those type of things. There's still a lot of facilities that need arsenic treatment. Small wells out there that need arsenic treatment out there. And you know, we hope to, as Severn Trent, bring that solution to the marketplace. We're always trying to improve our technology, our arsenic treatment technology with bay oxide, look at how to manufacture it, you know, more efficiently, make it more cost effective so it can be applied to the smaller and smaller utilities.
John, I got to tell you, one thing that always gives me a headache in looking at all this technology and the innovations and the rapid advances, and then the fact that water treatment technology is going to have a useful life of 20, 30, 50 years, and how do you make a decision today among the different options that are available technically and still have a comfort level that 20, 30, 40 years from now, that's still going to be a viable technology?
You know, that's a very difficult question, but actually a good question as it relates to Severn Trent. Because we are also a private utility, they're making that same decision all the time for their customers in the
you're
UK.
You're walking in your customer's shoes.
You know, so you're making the decision. You have to do the evaluation. So when we develop a technology and we move forward with a technology, we're looking at it from the long-term operational cost along with the capital to actually do that technology. There are many needs out there, solutions that are needed out there. Example in the inorganic side of the business, nitrates is one of the areas that, you know, wells have nitrate contaminant. One of their research areas that we continue to work on is ion exchange is the best solution in the marketplace for nitrate removal. But the negative to ion exchange technology that we offer is the brine disposal. Many of these small towns that need nitrate removal have no access to dispose of the brine. So then it makes it a very cost prohibitive technology. So one of our research projects is to actually develop a solution so you can reuse the brine and make it cost effective, a solution in the marketplace. In some cases, it's prohibitive or not possible for people to use that water unless that type of solution is eventually developed.
I wanted to ask you about something. Just before H13, there'd been some changes with CorpTech. And I'm just curious how that integration of that business into the existing electrical coordination business, and I believe it was in Texas, if I recall correctly, how that's going, what's been achieved to date.
Okay, just before ACE of 13, we made a strategic decision to move our CorpTech business, which has historically been based in Torrance, California, to Sugar Land, Texas. Through the acquisition process, Severn Trent had created a joint venture, which was called Severn Trent Denora, which is based in Sugar Land, Texas, which is electric chlorination and wastewater treatment for offshore platforms, seawater chlorination, making chlorine for seawater on ships, etc. We do ballast water treatment. That's the same electric chlorination technology. We had basically a standalone product that was based on the technology that was out in California. By bringing it to Sugar Land, Texas, we're basically centralizing our manufacturing. All of our technical expertise is centralized in Texas now, so we're able to build on that. It also leads to improvements in design of the product, manufacturing of the product. Things that we learned in the ballast water treatment, we apply to the new technology and any of the other treatment applications that we have there. Things that, you know, you learn from building a much bigger organization and the synergies that you have there. So we've been focused on development projects with the CorpTech product line to make improvements in safety, reliability, life of the equipment, operational efficiency, all those type of things.
On-site generation, what's new with that?
The on-site is the CorpTech product line. And basically, we're making changes in the cell materials, electrode materials in the product line are some of the main things. But safety is always important, and that's a critical thing. And operational efficiency.
John, seems like I'm running across story after story of the drought in the western U.S. What are we learning there? What kind of lessons are there? What's being done that might be applied in other parts of the country that don't have that problem yet?
You know, I've been in this business now, I guess, almost 23, 24 years, and I've seen many cycles in terms of the water side of it. As I live in Richmond, Virginia, and as a lot of us know on the East Coast, we've had a lot of rain, excess rain. And historically, I think I would say that when it's wet in the East, it's dry out West. And, you know, the West is generally historically dry, but it really the scarcity that is we're seeing at this point in time is basically showing that we do not have enough water sources out West. And our water sources that are now basically limited, and we must develop ways to treat the existing waters that are out there, like the waters that have the chrome 6, the nitrates, where we've avoided that type of treatment, and that's going to make a big difference. Looking on a much longer term, I really think, and I know this is a much more radical thing, but I think we will also see the blending of in the gray area where it becomes drinking water and reuse is almost going to be one and the same. We know it's done in parts of the world like Singapore. We have indirect reuse here to a large degree in certain parts of the country, in the more of the western portion. It's very indirect, but it's already going on. We have a very limited scarcity of water, and we must open ourselves to the treatment solutions that companies like Severn Trent can provide to make that water available to the limited, to the public.
Well, let me just assure you, John, that Todd and I sleep at night knowing that there's guys like John Dyson and Severn Trent out there doing this good work. John, we're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people learn more about Severn Trent Services?
Yeah, you can reach us at www.severntrentservices.com.
All right. John Dyson, the America's Sales Director with Severn Trent Services. John, as always, good to see you.
Thank you.
All right. That wraps this broadcast. On behalf of all of us at Water Online, this is Todd and Todd, Water Online Radio's live coverage from Ace 14. We'll be right back.